Bless you. And yeah, I'm doing better and walking and all those kind of good things, things you're supposed to do. And so I'm going to see if I can get myself positioned underneath this desk here to get that foot up a little bit. And we're going to talk about hope some more this morning. Hope you can tolerate one more sermon about hope. And hopefully this will strike a chord in your heart this morning. Let me just mention, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have an evening of prayer. Just gather in here, bring your family, bring the kids. They need to be a part of this time of prayer, and we're just going to seek the Lord tonight. We'll have some direction about some specific things to pray about. We'll pray for you. If you have a need, well, let us know. We're here to pray, but we're going to just have this time of prayer tonight. Regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, this would be a good night to pray for our nation that's so deeply divided right now. So anyway, we're going to pray. We'll pray about a lot of things. So I hope you'll come back tonight at 6 o'clock and join us for a time of prayer. And if you're joining us on the webcast this morning, well, welcome to you. Thanks for tuning in and for joining us. And if you can make it tonight, come pray with us. And if you can't, pray right there at home. But let's make this a good season of prayer tonight at 6 o'clock. Well, most everybody's heard about Jonah. I want to share a couple of lessons that we can find in the story of Jonah. Even if you've never read the Bible, you probably heard about Jonah and the fish, or Jonah and the whale, and whatever kind of fish or mammal or whatever he was. The Bible talks about this animal, this thing, as a fish. But there's a couple of lessons I want us to look at today in this book. So the book of Jonah, and it's an obscure little four chapters in the Old Testament. You may want to, towards the end there, you may want to look in the front of your Bible where the index is. You'll find the page that tells you where Jonah is, and you won't have to go through all the minor prophets to find him. But anyway, it opens this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, what was Jonah thinking? First of all, to run from God, some of you can attest, it's not a good plan, all right? All in all, things were going to kind of go from bad to worse here. What was the point of this? And just a quick reminder of what was going on. Jonah was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel. So by this time, the nation of Israel had been divided into Judah, two tribes in the south, and 10 tribes in the northern part of Israel that was called Israel. And so he was a prophet during the reign of King Jeroboam II. It's not going to be a test. You don't have to remember the names of these people. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a pagan city in what is now modern Iraq, near Mosul. Some of you, unfortunately, have been to Mosul during the war, so you understand. So that's where Nineveh is. The Assyrians were enemies of Israel, and would eventually, just as Jonah predicted and feared, Assyria would eventually conquer Israel. Actually, Assyria was responsible for kind of assimilating those tribes of Israel into other nations and countries, and kind of led to what we call the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They got lost because of Assyria. It was a bad deal. So Jonah is instructed to go to Nineveh. God says they're wicked. They're so wicked. He tells them, go there and tell them they need to repent, or I'm going to destroy them all and I'll destroy their nation. Well, why didn't Jonah want to go? Why didn't he want to go tell them what was coming? Well, basically, because he suspected that they would repent if he came and preached that. And Jonah hated the Assyrians. They were enemies of Israel. Jonah knew, he predicted that they would eventually come and conquer Israel. He knew that God was gracious and compassionate and merciful. And he thought, if I go warn them that God's going to judge their nation and bring judgment on them, they'll repent, and God's so merciful, he'll forgive them. And he won't destroy them, and I'd rather them all be dead. So Jonah was not he wasn't a Christian kind of prophet, all right? Wasn't exactly a good guy in that sense. So he didn't want them to repent. He didn't want them to be shown mercy. Let me ask you this morning, can you dare to see something of yourself in Jonah? Can you think of a group of people or a person that you dislike or that you despise, somebody or some group that you hate, and yet God's calling you to love them, to show them mercy, to forgive them, to respect them? Is there anyone that God's telling you to love or to help or to show kindness to or to serve? And you think, you know what, and rather than do what God's telling me to do, I'd rather run the other direction. You know, I'd rather, because that's what Jonah does. Lord, it's going to cost me too much to love those people. Well, the truth is, it was going to cost him a lot more because he was going to disobey God. Maybe you can relate to Jonah in that sense. Well, Jonah decides to run from the presence of God. He goes down Joppa. If you go to Israel with us next May, well, we'll go to Joppa. It's just south of Tel Aviv. And so the ancient city's still there. And so he pays his fare, gets on board a ship, and he's heading to Tarshish. We're not sure, but some believe that Tarshish was in Spain across the Mediterranean Sea. And so Iraq was east, Tarshish is west. He's going in the opposite direction of where God told him to go. They set sail, and a terrible storm comes, and the sailors on board, they throw the cargo in the sea trying to lighten the ship, trying to keep it from sinking. They're afraid that the storm is going to overwhelm the ship. The Bible says in chapter 1 of Jonah that all these sailors who are pagan sailors, they're praying to their gods. But Jonah's not praying to his God because he's running from his God. He's not praying to the Lord. He's down in the hull of the ship somewhere asleep. The captain comes down and wakes him up and says, whoever your God is, you need to pray to him because we're in trouble. Everybody on deck, and they draw straws. They cast lots to see because they figure somewhere somebody's God's mad at somebody, and that's why we're about to die out here. And finally, Jonah, he gets the short straw or something, and he says, guys, it's me. I'm the problem here. And I tell you what, here's the answer. If you'll just throw me overboard, the sea will consume me. God won't be angry at any of you. It'll be okay, and that'll solve the problem. And they said, well, that seems like a shame, but if that's what you tell us to do, we're not going to die here. And so they throw Jonah overboard, and sure enough, the Bible says, the raging sea grew calm. Sounds like, as we used to say, curtains for Jonah. It doesn't sound good, all right? Things had gone from bad to worse to hopeless as Jonah's thrown into the sea. But this is not where our story ends. This is where our story begins. And I want to show you a couple of important lessons that Jonah discovers in the midst of what appears to be a hopeless situation. First of all, Jonah's situation reminds us that there's hope for people in impossible, hopeless circumstances and situations. The sailors throw Jonah overboard into a raging sea. Jonah expects to die. Figures, what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, he won't be able to tread water in a raging sea that long, perhaps. The sailors expect he's going to die. It looks and sounds hopeless. It looks impossible. But the Lord had something else planned. And the Bible says in verse 17, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. You ever had one of those days where it started out so good? Everything looked bright. You're going to take a little cruise somewhere for a three-hour tour, right? A three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. Anyway, you can finish that yourselves. So he's thinking we're going to make it, and then suddenly there's a storm, and then it gets worse, and then the next thing you know, the sailors cast lots, and it points to you, and then he finally has to fess up to what he's done, and then he's thrown overboard, and he's bobbing in the open sea and swamped by the waves, and he's thinking, well, I guess the good news is it can't get any worse than this. I'll just take a couple of last breaths, sink to the bottom, and it'll all be over with. When suddenly he sees a giant fish, a whale, or something headed straight for him, and he thinks, well, surely it's not going to get worse than this. And the fish opens its mouth and swallows him whole. And the next thing you know, he's in darkness inside the fish, inside the whale or mammal or whatever it is. And it's perhaps diving down into the deep. Now he starts to pray. It's too bad he wasn't praying on board the ship. But if you're going to pray, now's a pretty good time. begins to pray, and the Bible gives us a glimpse of what's going on inside the fish and what's going on inside the mind of Jonah and in his heart as we listen to him begin to pray in chapter 2. And chapter 2 opens with this extraordinary statement. You won't read this anywhere else in the world. It says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." From inside the fish, Jonah prays to the Lord his God. Good plan, Jonah. It's about time you started praying. Now's the perfect time. Jonah says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord." You think? I mean, I feel like that's an understatement. It's putting it mildly. In my distress. I would call it, yeah, distress for sure. I don't know if it, you know, it qualifies as distress. It also qualifies as gross, just to be honest. Because whatever's going on inside the fish, I don't know what the digestive system of a whatever kind of fish this was. I don't know what it's like. Somebody suggested maybe the enzymes that it required to digest food would be just bleaching him out. Whatever was going on, it was unpleasant, I'm sure. And here he is just thinking, "I've been swallowed up in this." From the depths of the grave is the way Jonah says it. From the depths of the grave, I called for help. He thought this was going to be his final resting place. He thought, well, it's a watery, smelly fish grave for him. The passage literally reads, "From the belly of Sheol," and that was the Hebrew place of the dead. From the belly of the dead, I call for help. Jonah says, "I'm buried alive. I'm just waiting for the end to come. Wonder how long it takes for a whale to digest something that it swallows alive." So he's just hopeless and helpless. There's no way out. There's no way to be rescued. Nobody's going to come looking for him. It's not like, you know, Ahab looking for the whale out there. There's no whalers out there. And everybody knows he's dead, so nobody's going to come looking for him. It's all over. And some of us can kind of relate to the hopelessness of the situation. In verse 3, Jonah says, "You," talking to God, "you hurled me into the deep, and all your waves and breakers swept over me." And maybe some of you know that feeling. You've just been overwhelmed. Life's coming at you like waves and breakers sweeping over you. If you've ever gone to the ocean and you stood there, you waded out a little ways out into the deep, and suddenly a bigger wave kind of comes in, and all of a sudden it knocks you off your feet. And at first you kind of sputter and laugh a little bit, and then by the time you stand up and the sand underneath you is kind of shifting, and then another wave catches you before you really get your balance, and then you think, "Hey, this is kind of pulling me out to sea here a little bit. I'm further out than I thought I was going to be," and you're trying to get back to your feet, and then suddenly you're just trying to keep your head above water. It's kind of a desperate feeling that you've got. And one wave after another just keeps crashing over you and pulling you under. That's what's going on with Jonah. And some of you may have felt that. Maybe you've been caught in the ocean that way. And some of you just know that feeling from the way life is right now. That the waves just keep coming, keeps knocking you down. You think you're going to make it, and the next thing you know, you're pulled under again. And Jonah had fled from the presence of the Lord. Now he's feeling the consequence of running from God. It wasn't a good plan. It never is. If you're running from God today, it's not a good plan. It's not a good plan. Inside, alone inside the belly of this fish, he says, "I've been banished from your sight." There's nothing more hopeless than feeling that you've been banished from God's sight and from his presence, from his mercy. Jonah says in verse 7, "It feels like my life is just ebbing away. It's disappearing on me. All hope was lost." So you get the picture. He's hopeless. He's trapped. There's no way out. Jonah uses words like surrounded, threatened, barred in, banished, engulfed. And I got to tell you, I know some of those feelings. I've never been inside the belly of a fish, but I've been swallowed up by some stuff before. Swallowed up by depression or despair or a sense of hopelessness. I know what it feels to feel engulfed in something. I know that. Frightened and alone and overwhelmed, feeling like life and the last bit of hope is slipping away somehow. But in the midst of all this, Jonah remembered the Lord and his mercy, and he doesn't give up hope. Look at this. He writes in chapter 2, verse 7, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you." Here's the avenue to hope for people in hopeless situations. Remember the Lord and call upon Him, because with the Lord, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. When it looks like all hope is gone, call on the God of hope. And Jonah says, "I thought I was trapped forever and dying." I love this image. He says, "To the roots of the mountains." You ever thought about where the roots of the mountains are? They're buried in the bottom of the sea. They're in the bottom of the earth. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. He's saying, you brought me up from Sheol. You brought me up from the place of the dead where there's no hope to a place of hope again. You brought me from death to life. And Jonah teaches us that it doesn't matter how hopeless the situation, there's hope when you call on the Lord. It's the truth. It was the truth for Jonah. It's the truth for you today, whatever your circumstances, wherever you are, sitting here in this beautiful sanctuary or watching online somewhere, there's hope for you. No situation is hopeless. Look at verse 8. Jonah says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Jonah realizes exactly what we've said before. It matters where you put your hope. It matters in whom you put your hope. And he says, look, if you're putting your hope in worthless idols, like the guys on board the ship, or even like Jonah had done, then it's a waste of time. He says, you forfeit the grace, the mercy of God that could be yours. Clinging to anything besides God is hopeless. Clinging to anything besides God is worthless. It's a waste. Because there's nothing else that can save you. Jonah had nowhere else to turn. Nobody else to turn to. Nothing else could save him. And you're in the same situation when it gets right down to it. Nothing else can save you but God Himself. By clinging to anything besides the Lord, you forfeit the grace that could be yours. But if you call on the Lord, if you put your hope and your trust in Him, if you turn to Him, if you surrender all to Him, regardless of your circumstances and how desperate or bleak or hopeless they may be, His grace can deliver you and save you and bring you hope. I'm telling you this morning, His grace is sufficient for you. His hope is enough. He can rescue you and save you regardless, even if you've been swallowed up by a fish. So maybe you feel like you're drowning in the open sea like Jonah at first. Or maybe you've been swallowed up by something, like we said, swallowed up by sickness or disease or depression or despair or death. We've had four people this week that have lost a father or a mother. So you know the feeling of loss and despair that just kind of sweeps over you. It's this horrible, desperate feeling, and you just want to give up hope. Maybe like Jonah, you feel like your life is just ebbing away from you. But hear me today, it's too soon to give up hope. Don't give up hope. God has a plan. And it may seem like it's gone from bad to worse, from the open sea to a watery grave inside a fish. But hear me this morning. God prepared that fish not as a place of death and despair. That fish was prepared to be a place of hope and deliverance. God rescued him with the fish. He wouldn't put him in worse trouble with the fish. He sent that fish to deliver him. Listen, without hope, it looks like a smelly grave. It looks and smells like a grave. But with hope, the inside of that fish becomes a hallowed place of safety. It becomes a place of deliverance. With hope, it becomes an ark of safety. With hope, the inside of the belly of that fish becomes a launching pad to greater ministry, to a new place, to a new beginning. It becomes a place of refuge, and it's going to become a place of victory. It becomes a place of decision, not a place of despair. It's a place of surrender, not of death. Everything changes because hope comes to Jonah in that place, inside that fish. From bad to worse, to surrender, to victory. That's what's going on in that fish. It seems to be God's way. And look around you this morning, and if all you can smell is death and all you can see is darkness, call on the Lord, because He can turn that place into a place of provision, a place of rescue for you. It can become a place of salvation for you. Jonah understood, and that's why at the end of his prayer he declares, salvation comes from the Lord. When there's no hope, hope in the Lord. And that's where salvation comes from. It may have been a strange path to get him there, included being thrown into a raging stormy sea and being swallowed by a fish. But God will get His salvation to you at just the right time. That's what He did for Jonah, and that's what I expect Him to do for you. Folks, there's hope for folks in impossible situations because salvation indeed comes from the Lord. Don't give up. Call on the Lord. Call on the God of salvation. Call on the Lord of hope this morning. I've been in some of those situations where I thought maybe the Lord had banished me from His sight, and like Jonah, but it turned out He was just getting me into a position and a posture where I could completely surrender everything to Him. He was getting me into a position and a place where I could see that ultimately salvation was going to come from the Lord. Don't curse the fish that swallowed you. Don't curse the circumstances this morning. You may be saying, I can't believe I got swallowed by a fish this week. Trust God. He may be about to turn that fish into, it was going to be cheap transportation. I really believe the fish probably spit him out on the coast of Lebanon somewhere, and he had less distance to travel to get to Iraq from where he was in southern Israel. You can trust Him. Don't curse the fish that swallowed you. He may just be part of God's plan to rescue you, to keep you safe for a few days instead of drowning in the ocean. He sent a whale to swallow you in order to get you safe, to keep you safe, and to get you where you were supposed to be. That fish wasn't the end. The fish was the means of deliverance to get Jonah where he was supposed to be, to carry him to a place of usefulness and purpose. You may be thinking, I don't know how I got in this mess. Trust God. Commit your way to Him. Surrender to Him. He'll bring you safely to the shore. He's going to bring you to the place where He can use you again. And the second lesson of hope that we learn from Jonah is this, that there's hope for all of us who have failed. And this may be one of the toughest lessons for a lot of us. We failed God. We've made mistakes. We've run from the Lord. We disobeyed Him. We went the opposite direction. And now we just figure, well, all is lost. But it turns out there's still hope. Don't give up because God hadn't given up on you yet. Now, Jonah was a prophet with some success. We really only read about him here, but he's mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 14, where it says that he prophesied to King Jeroboam II about Israel's expansion, and it came to pass. And Jonah was pretty happy when God told him to go to his own people and tell them that good things were coming. Not so much on going to the enemies of Israel and telling them that judgment was coming. But so Jonah he'd known what it was to do what God told him to do, to obey God. But now he rejects God's instruction and he disobeys. Blatant disobedience. He did the exact opposite of what God asked him to do. He was heading in the exact opposite direction. So Nineveh was east and Tarshish was west. He's going in the opposite direction of the will of God. And in fact, he allowed his national pride, he allowed his racism and his anger to affect his relationship with God. He allowed his national pride for Israel, his love for his country, to get in the way of his walk with God. And I want to say something this morning, and listen carefully to what I'm telling you. Jonah put Israel and Israel's interest before his relationship with God. And just a word of caution, because I've seen Christians that turned out were more devoted to America than they were to obeying Jesus and the Word of God and His commands. I've seen people choose the flag over the cross. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be a good citizen, but I'm saying to be careful. We have to be careful. It was part of Jonah's downfall. It can be part of the church's downfall as well. Jesus has to be our first love. Our allegiance belongs to Jesus before anything else, before all others. You can defend America without becoming un-Christ-like in the process. And so we have to be careful. We want to make sure that we're honoring Jesus. And if the law of the land calls for something that doesn't honor God's word and doesn't honor Jesus, it's cross before flag. It has to be. And so Jonah made this mistake of honoring his country more than he honored God. I'm not going to go speak to the enemies of Israel and warn them of judgment. God, go ahead and judge them. But instead, he found out, you know what? I got to obey God above everything else. I have to obey Him. Well, the point is, the Bible says Jonah ran from the presence of God. He wasn't just disobeying God. He was trying to get away from God. It was as if he was turning his back on God. We'd call that backsliding. That's what you used to call that. When you turn away from God to run away from Him, when you reject His word and reject His promises, you reject the command of the Lord. But think about it. The psalmist told us, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, and that's where Jonah was, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, and that's where Jonah was trying to get to, the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Here's just a little tip for you. You can run, but you can't hide. All right. There was no GPS, but God knew exactly where Jonah was. hidden in the ocean, in the belly of a fish, out of all that vast ocean. God knew exactly where he was. But Jonah thinks he can outrun God. Some of you may be thinking the same thing. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, Jonah disobeyed God and ran from his presence. Chapter 1, verse 6 tells us that he stopped praying. Everybody else on board was praying to their God, but not Jonah. In fact, the captain had to wake him up, which is a sermon in itself, that he was sleeping instead of praying. You need to take your nap this afternoon and get back in time to pray tonight, all right? It's a sign of separating from God when we stop praying, when we stop having fellowship with him. And that's what Jonah had done. He knew what he had done. He figured there was no hope for himself. So he told in verse 10 of chapter 1, he told the sailors on board, I'm running away from the Lord, and that's why you're in trouble. I've brought this trouble on you. He gave himself up and told them, throw me overboard. It's my fault. There's no hope for me. I failed God. God's going to take me out of the picture. There's nothing left to do but to admit it and just sink to the bottom and die. And Jonah figured he'd made his last mistake, and that God didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. That was it. I've probably gotten my wish. No doubt I'm banished from God forever. I'm banished from the presence of the Lord forever, so I might as well drown. And the sailors throw him into the sea, expecting that he's going to die. But instead of God turning away from Jonah and saying, you're right, you're finished, although it may have seemed that way to Jonah at the moment, rather than experiencing God's rejection, Jonah experiences God's merciful provision. So chapter 1, verse 17, these four words, but the Lord provided. God wasn't through with Jonah yet. God's mercy was still reaching out to Jonah. It was a severe mercy. It wasn't a bed of ease. You know, there were consequences to his running from God, but the Lord provided. He didn't get fished out of the water and put on a cruise ship where they took care of him and he had a buffet all day long. Instead, he's inside the belly of a fish. He's trapped in the darkness. He even says in chapter 2, verse 5, with seaweed wrapped around my head. Which I hate seaweed tangling up in, you know? And so, I mean, he's describing it. But it was the perfect place to come to grips with himself and his own sin and his own foolish behavior. It was the perfect place to encounter the mercy of the Lord. The Lord provided for Jonah exactly what he needed. A safe place for 3 days and three nights so he wouldn't drown. And a real quiet place, just him and the plankton that kept coming in, or whatever plankton is, to be able to reflect a little bit as the digestive process is going on. He's thinking, yep, you know, I never should have run. I never should have run from God. Boy, this is really going to teach me. If I ever get out of this, I'm going to do better. The Lord provided what he needed. What's the Lord provided for you? Maybe he's provided a way of escape. Maybe just the fact that you showed up this morning, or maybe you were just looking on the web this morning and ran across Carbondale Assembly of God and thought, I'll stop and see what those people are all about. And all of a sudden, God's speaking to you and reminding you that it's not too late for you, that there's hope for you yet, that maybe even yet God could still use you. And you suddenly think, what do you know? He sent a whale by to swallow me today, to tell me that there's still hope for somebody like me. When Jonah thought he was finished, he encounters the provision of the Lord. When Jonah felt himself sinking down into the depths, it was there he found the Lord's mercy. I read it before in verse 6. He says, to the roots of the mountain I sank down, but you brought my life up from the pit. You may have failed the Lord, and you may be running from his presence today and feeling like there's no hope for somebody like you. But even in your sin and in your failure and in your mistakes, there's still hope. Because look at the word of the Lord that comes to Jonah in chapter 3. And this may be the most important thing that you hear this morning. In the opening verse of chapter 3, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It's not just one strike and you're out. A second time, a second chance. God is the God of a second chance. You've blown it, you failed, you disobeyed, you tried to run from God, you went the opposite direction, you were doing what you know, you knew you shouldn't be doing, and yet he's the God of another chance. Jeff mentioned it this morning. The Bible's full of stories of people who failed God and stumbled. They messed up. They were a mess themselves. And yet God in his mercy picked them up and gave them another chance. And maybe you thought somehow God couldn't forgive you and your past mistakes. Maybe you've been convinced that you ran too long and too far, and you're convinced that your situation is hopeless, that you've run out of chances, that God couldn't ever love you, God couldn't ever forgive you, God couldn't ever use you again. You've run too far and too long. You've stopped praying. You've stopped trusting. But trust me, today, like Jonah, you may be hearing God calling you again today, saying, I got another chance, another opportunity, a second time or a hundredth time, He's calling you. In the storm, in your failure, in the belly of a fish or whatever it is that swallowed you up this morning, the Lord is calling you and telling you it's not hopeless after all. Your situation, your circumstances are not hopeless. And God is calling to all of us who have failed, all of us who have messed up along the way. He's made provision for us if we'll turn to Him and trust Him. From inside the belly of that fish, Jonah made a decision that changed everything. And in spite of all that was going on, Jonah said, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. He says, what I vowed, I'll make good, because salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah stops and says, listen, God, if you'll just give me that other chance, if you'll give me another chance, I'll fulfill the vow I made to you. Because I got to tell you, you got to know he was making some vows inside the belly of that whale, don't you? I mean, God, I promise you, I'll never. It was a long list of stuff he would never do again if God would just get him out of that whale. What, get me out of this whale, Lord, somewhere close to the shoreline. I think that was part of it too. Right? Don't just spit me out right here. Get me close to shore. But he says, what I vowed, I'll make good on it, because salvation comes from the Lord. When Jonah made that decision to trust in and obey the Lord, in spite of his hopeless circumstances, in spite of his disobedience, in spite of his failures and mistakes and sins, when he surrendered it all to the Lord, everything changed. The Bible says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Have a good lunch today. And it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And look at this. And then Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. I'm not sure how many days it took him to walk to Nineveh. And I got a feeling that every time that he stopped and thought, you know what, I could just turn around. One second thought. Man, I still smell like the inside of a whale. He's still picking out a little bit of something out of there and still getting stuff out of his hair and everything else. And he's saying, no. I'm not running from God anymore. I've learned my lesson. I'm going to honor the vow I made to God. I'll make good on what I promised. And so Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. And this time he went to Nineveh. Now there's a whole other sermon about what happens when he gets there. I wouldn't plan on talking about hope next week, but we might ought to finish the story. We'll see what the Lord says as I kind of pray about it. But let me ask you this morning, are you ready for a second chance? Are you ready for a new beginning? And you're thinking, will I have to be swallowed by a fish? Depends on how you handle getting off the boat. Because if you just tell the captain, I made a mistake, let's turn around and let's go the direction I'm supposed to be going. Take me to Nineveh. Well, you can't get there by sea, but get me as close as you can. Get me where I'm supposed to be. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get swallowed up by something. I don't know how it's going to work, but I know this. If you're in an impossible situation this morning, there's hope for you, and there's a new direction for you, and there's something, there's victory and salvation in store for you. But it starts with surrender. It starts with believing and trusting in the Lord. It starts with saying, Lord, I bring myself as a sacrifice to you. That's what he says, with a song of thanksgiving, I'll sacrifice to you. And I think it's time you surrender to Him today. God's given you another chance to obey Him. But you have to surrender. There's hope for you in impossible circumstances. There's hope for you even if you failed. There's another chance. There's hope for you today. But isn't it time you made good on your promises and on your vow to the Lord? It's time to make a new decision today, because there's a new beginning available to you if you'll trust in Him. Let's stand this morning. Father, I thank you this morning for the word of the Lord to us. I thank you, Lord, for the lessons we can learn from this old prophet. Seaweed in his hair, been running the wrong direction, but he discovers there's hope for people in hopeless situations. There's hope for people in impossible situations. Not only is there hope, there's another chance. There's another chance. And maybe you're here this morning. You say, you know what, I need another chance. I need to start over. And I want to make it right. I've been running from God, but today my running ends and I want to come home to Him. Or maybe this describes you, that you feel like you've been swallowed up by something this morning. You're just feeling overwhelmed. But today you're thinking, Lord, it's time for me to surrender to You. It's time for me to just say yes to You, and maybe somehow You'll deliver me. Maybe it's through a big fish. But Lord, You'll deliver me somehow, because I'm overwhelmed this morning. I need You to rescue me and help me. I'm telling you, He's a rescuer. He brings hope to people that are in hopeless situations. He'll give you another chance. If you're here this morning and that describes you, and you just want to recapture that hope and you want to surrender to the Lord, would you just slip out and come and stand here at the front? We want to pray with you and pray for you this morning. I want to pray a prayer that puts hope back in your heart and in your life. And I invite you to come this morning. If it's asking too much of you right there where you're standing, I know you can turn to Him and say, Lord, I need hope today. I'm trapped in something and I need to get deliverance. I need to be free. And you can just cry out to Him today. That's what Jonah did. You say, well, I'm not in church this morning. Neither was Jonah. He was in the belly of a fish in a hopeless situation, but he knew he could cry out to God, and it made a difference. It made a difference. He'll make a difference for you this morning, you that are coming today. He'll make a difference for you. You that are watching us this morning on the webcast, He'll make a difference for you if you call upon Him. There are friends that have come. I wonder if some of you can come and pray with our friends who are here this morning. We're going to stand together and believe for God to bring hope into hopeless situations. I don't know how desperate it is. I don't know what's going on in the lives of these who have come. I have no idea what's going on in your world, in your life. But I know there's a God who brings deliverance to us. I know there's a God who makes the difference for us. And that's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray today for victory. I pray, Lord, for hopeless situations to turn into hope. I pray, Lord, for people this morning that feel like they're trapped in something. They've been overwhelmed by life, overwhelmed by circumstances. They've been swallowed up, not by a fish or a whale, but they've been swallowed up with despair. They've run from God, and it's taken them somewhere they never thought they would end up, Lord. Sin and disobedience always does that. We always end up somewhere we never thought we'd be. Jonah never thought he'd be in Nineveh, but he sure never thought he'd be in the belly of a fish. And yet there he was. Sin and disobedience takes us further than we ever thought we'd go. It takes us places we never wanted to be. But even there, even in the midst of despair, even in the midst of sin or anything else, hope is there. Jesus is there. And we call upon You, and I believe You today to bring deliverance and hope. For these who have come forward this morning, for those that are praying, standing in this sanctuary, for those that are watching us this morning, there's hope for you. Salvation is from the Lord, and He'll save you. He'll change you. He'll give you hope. He'll give you a new beginning. He'll give you another chance. He'll give you an opportunity. He'll put you in that place where there's a new beginning for you. There's an opportunity for things to be different. Oh, friends, there's an opportunity today as you call upon the Lord. He said, if you put your hope in worthless things, in idols, you forfeit the grace that could be there for you. But if you trust in the Lord, His grace is sufficient for you. If you'll trust in the Lord, His grace is sufficient to save you, to forgive you, to change you, to give you hope, to give you hope in your life, in your relationships, to give you hope in your marriage, to give you hope for a future. He'll give you hope today, and He'll change your circumstances. That's who He is, the God of hope, the God who makes the difference for all of us today. So Lord, we receive by faith that hope. We receive that encouragement You offer to us today. We say yes to You. We surrender to You. And Lord, as we leave this place today, like Jonah, we're saying, I'm going to make good on my vows. I'm going to make good on the promise that I've made to You. I'm going to obey You. I'm going to do what You've asked of me to do. And the Lord's going to take us to the next place. He's going to take us to a place of victory. He's going to take us to a place of hope. He's going to show us that He's not done with us. He's not finished with us. There's still opportunity for us. He can still use us for His glory and honor. He can still make a difference in our lives. For we say yes to Him today. Lord, we say yes to You, to Your will, to Your plan, and to Your purpose. Let it be for us today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. May you obey the word of the Lord this morning, to follow Him, to obey Him and serve Him. And may the peace of God that passes understanding keep you. May His mercy surround you today in Jesus' name. Amen.